WGN's Nightside. Box full of
letters. Yeah, man.
This is Michael Heidemann and host Paul Farvar. It's good to see you guys. It's good to have you listening with us. Call in anytime, 312-981-7200. What's going on, Paul?
Well, we're talking about Double Door. We still got callers. People are calling us. Someone's asking us from the 815, is the attic still in business? Attic. I don't know. I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is, Michael?
It sounds familiar, but there's a lot of places in Chicago, like the store, the room.
Store is still around. Legroom is still around.
The attic, though? I don't know.
But Double Door is coming back. That's all that matters. That's what we're talking about. And I guess we got a caller who's talking about his recollection of the Double Door. Jimmy, you there?
I am here, sir.
Jimmy, you were at the Double Door and you saw a band?
You know, thanks for having me on. First of all, I'm really, really enjoying the show and the topic.
Thanks,
to answer your question, many times, Wilco, my favorite band still to this day.
Amen. Yeah, we all love
Wilco. When they were young, just, I mean, you just knew. And then the vibe, I was telling you, your phone screener, that the vibe of that place was so much different than, you know, going to Metro or Shuba's or different places. It really, you know, people were like meant to play there, and you could tell even the artists like Liz Phair, they appreciated the Chicago audience in the you know, the setting. Veruca Salt, I saw a lot of bands there. I mean, we used to go. I'm from the Beverly area on the south side, and we would go up there on the weekends. It was like going to Wisconsin, practically, you know, but crossing enemy territory on the north side, but well worth it. And I also heard while I was on hold that you're looking for people who have had celebrity encounters.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that, but we're going to talk about
one-stop shopping for you guys, because I was a house electrician at the Hilton throughout the 90s.
Oh, man.
On Balboa, Michigan, and then I've met President Clinton, Al Gore. Nice. I've met many actresses, Aretha Franklin, Paul McCartney. My favorite, though, would be, can I explain for a minute?
Well, tell us who it is first, and then we'll
Jimmy, you're on the clock, my friend.
The actress Glenn Close. Close, about a year after Fatal Attraction came out.
Wow.
Okay, and did you get her number? Because we don't want to hear the story, Jimmy. It seems like that's the only way it's going to end good for us.
Well, I didn't get her number, but I did make her laugh.
Oh, that's good. was the joke that
you
made?
Yeah, you got to remember the joke. This is part of the story.
Okay.
Is it racy?
It wasn't a joke. If you ever saw the movie Fatal Attraction, when the elevator doors closed in the elevator to Hilton, they were mirrored. So I knew who it was immediately, but we were taught to never make a big deal out of a celebrity. So I just kind of, you know, just was standing there holding my tool bag. And then when the elevator doors opened, I turned around and looked at her, and I go, "I really appreciate your work." And she goes, "Well, thank you." I go, "But let's be honest, you should have never cooked that rabbit." You really have to see the movie.
No, I saw the movie. It's a good line. It's a good line, Jimmy. You know what? We're gonna give you
money.
Some prizes. No, we're not gonna give you money. But if you want to come,
comedy.
We're gonna give you tickets to see Drink Day Laugh every Friday at the Laugh Factory, 8 p.m. Stay on the phone, Jimmy. Tom will get your number or your information, and we'll give you those tickets. Thanks for calling, Jimmy. You were talking about Wilco, and we're talking about celebrity encounters. But now we have a celebrity encounter, Michael.
Yeah,
we actually have a celebrity in our presence right now.
Right here. You know, I'm kind of worried. I like have paper here. I don't know if I should ask for an autograph or just we should just get on with the interview. This is awesome.
Comedian Marty DeRosa coming from a show to come talk to us. How you doing, Marty?
I'm doing great. You guys nailed that. I'll PayPal you money for calling me a celebrity. Not even local celebrity. That felt real good.
Mm-hmm. Marty, I know you walk down the street. People are come up to you all the time saying, "Hey, I've seen you before."
It happens sometimes.
It happens
so good.
Every week.
Ah, oh, feels so good.
I know how it happens to me, and you're by far a much higher celebrity than I'm. Not even a celebrity.
You got to stop saying celebrity. People are just like, "Are you that guy that talked about that thing?" And it'll be like the thing I would not want them to say. And we'll be at like a brunch place. Like my girlfriend and I will be at like a brunch place. And they'll be like, "Oh, you're the guy who talked about that one thing." And I'm like, "Dude, there's people around. Don't say that in front of everybody."
It's before noon. You can't say that word. Yeah. No, it makes sense. But you are a celebrity in my book. One of my favorite comedians, as you know, I've told you that multiple times. And you are also a music fan.
Huge
Alkaline Trio fan. You did the Two Guys, One Album.
Got the tattoo and everything, just like all dudes near and 40 who listen to punk rock in Chicago.
As a guy who grew up in Chicago, near Chicago, if you didn't have an Alkaline Trio tattoo, then you weren't a real fan of
what
music.
What were you doing? Yeah. What were you doing?
Get out of here.
That's your band. Did you ever see... You saw... They never played at Double Door.
I never saw them at Double Door. No.
What are your Double Door memories, Marty?
Less Than Jake? Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They destroyed that place.
One of the longest touring bands, and like we mentioned before, the dedication to those white man dreadlocks that the bassist
Florida,
has.
Baby. Nothing says Florida more like white guy dreads.
For over 20 years. So you saw Less Than Jake there.
Saw Less Than Jake there. And then... I think after the show, one of the guys in the band made out with somebody I know's sister.
Really?
So that was real cool,
that
too.
That was like
Nick's Beer Garden or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nick's Beer Garden.
Nick's Beer Garden.
Open till 4.
Open till 4.
Nick's Beer Garden was the first memory. Speaking of memories, when I found out what mace was like. And hold your horses.
Wait a minute.
I was not maced. But somebody sprayed it, like a canister open in the back, and it cleared out the entire bar. And that was the first time I ever was there. And I'm like, oh, I'm not coming back to this place anytime soon. But Less Than Jake and
Less
Mace.
Less Than Jake, Mace. I thought Double Door was a good you could like chill out during a concert. If you got too hot or you had a little too much booze in you and you needed to kind of take a break, it felt very much like you could sort of do that. Like some places, I feel like you can't do that. You're just like Metro, you're just there. You can't chill out too much there. But Double Door, you kind of could do that.
Well, they also created later in the space that they were in, they created a second floor downstairs, which was like a hippier area where they had like live music or DJ.
Did you ever do comedy down there?
I did comedy down there.
Yeah, a couple
they started
times.
Doing comedy. They did alternative room stuff, like they did like DJs, and they had like the salsa dancing stuff going on. So it was like a whole nother room. But when they had rock upstairs, it was like you needed a break. You could go down there and just chill out in the lounge, and I thought that was super cool. And of course, they did the comedy stuff too. That was fun. What'd you think of the comedy space when they had?
I remember when my name was on the marquee for a comedy show there. I was just like, oh yeah, this feels good.
Oh, I mean, to have it just in front of you and just blown up, that's like one of the most Chicago-y things you can ever do.
Yeah.
That because that billboard is actually one of the one things that people really wanted to have brought to the Uptown area, because they demolished our beautiful double Door, and they fought for that liquor sign that they're going to be putting on there now. And you got, man, so to have that kind of experience there, how good did that feel?
Felt real good.
Yeah.
Took pictures with it, pointing at it and stuff. Yeah, it's good.
So I had, as I told you, I had my anniversary party there 15 of the 17 years we had the company, and I still have the company, by the way, Shoeshine Boy Productions. And every time it was the anniversary party, they would put Shoeshine Boy Productions Presents.
It was
huge, and it was like, I still have all the pictures of that. It's such a great time there. And the thing that's funny about that place, or not funny, depends on how you see it, is they gave me a mic, and that's where I used to intro bands. When I stopped playing music, I'd be the MC, and they gave me like hope to think I was funny. And that's what, for better or for worse, like that's probably why I'm a comedian now.
Sneak in a couple jokes in there and be like, hey, I think I can do this.
Like, this seems like fun. Like, I finally am getting the attention I didn't get from my parents. And it was awesome. I loved it. So that's what I'm glad it's back.
Yeah, there were casualties. The liquor store and then the Santulo's, the pizza place, that got closed too. Oh, that was like part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bummer. They had pizza happy hour. I used to live in that neighborhood and I'd go for pizza happy hour.
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about celebrity encounters and I heard you had a really good one, and it kind of ties in with our phone call.
Yeah. So I used to work at Costco, and I worked at the Costco up in Niles. And one day I'm just sitting there and I see Jeff Tweedy came in. And I'm a big Wilco fan, and I just went up to him. I'm like, "You can steal whatever you want in here. It's on the house." He like looked at me like, "Oh yeah." He just laughed a little bit, but it was just like, it was just weird to see. It's weird when you see somebody like, he's a perfect example of where like we would be freaking out, but some other person might just be like, "No, who's this guy?" Mm-hmm. Like, that's my favorite kind of like celebrity encounter where you're just like,
well, he probably appreciated that you didn't make it. The way you approached him
was
a cool way to do
it.
I met him as well at the Metro at a Christmas thing. And I usually don't get starstruck, but for him, I totally like geeked out. I was like, I can't even talk to you right now. And I've met Sturrett, his bassist, multiple times. He used to go to the Pontiac Cafe, super nice guy. And I geeked out with him too. But like, other celebrities you meet and you know, other comedians you guys meet, we meet on the road, it's not as big deal. But when you meet Jeff Tweedy, it's like something changes in the room.
I just watched that documentary.
I'm trying to break your heart.
I'm trying to break your heart.
Oh, okay.
And then as I was watching, I was like, oh, I wonder what all these guys look like. I haven't seen Jeff Tweedy in a while. He's got like long gray hair now. And he's like, hey, looks cool.
I'm reading his memoir right now. I'm in the early parts of it, but it's so far, it's so good. It's such a good book. I highly recommend it for any Wilco fan.
And Chicago's a cool place because if you're not quite sure, like if you're like in Indiana or something like that, you know, like I grew up in like Schererville, Indiana. If you think you're not going to be like, I think that's so-and-so. But if you're here and you're like downtown or something, you're just like, that could be a celebrity.
The cool thing about living here in Chicago is that we have Chicago-centric celebrities. Like, you could go here in the city and downtown or in Lincoln Park, and you'd be like, all right, Jeff Tweedy, he's going to be the man. Billy Corgan obviously can walk on water. But if you go to, you know, Indiana, you go to Philadelphia, maybe they're not going to know who these people are. But like we mentioned before, our WGN guy, Pat Tomasulo, very, very well-known guy. You see him on the street, you say hi to him, but if he, I don't know, went to different city.
People freak out. It's so funny, too. I remember when I first met Pat, I was like, man, is this wild to give all these people come up to you? And he's like, yeah, mostly they're just like girls who are like, my mom loves you, or my grandma loves you. It's not like, you know, these like hot babes who are like, oh, hey, how you doing? It's just like, oh my God, my grandma loves you. She's going to freak out.
Can you say hi to Tom Skilling for me, please?
Yeah, people freak out when he's on stage. Even when
you forget, like, you're just like, oh yeah, this guy's like a famous dude. People go crazy because they see him on TV every day. Like that, when you're on TV every day, that's just like, you can't top that.
It's the ultimate. We're talking about favorite celebrity encounters. We've got Jeff Tweedy from Wilco. Who can top it? That's what I want to know. Call in 312-981-7200. You're going to be able to speak to Paul, me, and Marty, and we're going to be taking calls and texts throughout the night, so call us. Favorite celebrity encounters, but right now, oh, go ahead.
No, we'll tease it. I'm going to top Marty's just because I got to one-up him, but we'll do it after the break.
Are you sure you want to don't do it right now?
We should wait for a break.
No, we do have a break. No. Hold on. We'll be back here on WGN Radio. Welcome back to WGN's Nightside with Michael Heidemann and Paul Farvar. We're talking about favorite celebrity encounters.
Yeah.
Here, listening to this beautiful voice of this man right here, Billy Corgan, one of Chicago's number one Chicago-centric superstars, was just here in the WGN studio speaking with Elizabeth Alfano. And to be honest, I was kind of nervous that he was just a few feet away from me. And it's just one of those things, you know, when you can almost feel their presence when you're in a room with a celebrity. I mean, right now I'm feeling with Marty. I don't know if you can feel this magnetism right here, but
I've overcome it.
Get out of here.
For years when I would have shows with Marty, I was so intimidated by him. But now I'm like, you know what? He's actually just a regular guy like all of us.
Just like Billy Corgan.
And that's the thing. I've met Billy Corgan. I know Tom has met Billy Corgan, right, Tom?
Yeah, I was here the night that I was running the board for them when they were doing that recording with Billy and his partner. And super nice dude.
So
very genial.
I've met him before also at the Metro, but I have a joke that I used to close on for years, and I changed it. The real encounter was with Ryan Dempster, who now I'm friends with.
But he does comedy now.
Yeah, but now I say Billy Corgan, and I'm always afraid if I see him, he'll be like, hey, I heard you're...
You never met me. What are you talking about?
Well, I did meet him, but in the story, I get his number, which is, that part's not true, and I didn't send him a picture of me and him. But I say it because I need a bald person for the joke to get the second punch. Right.
Boom.
But Marty, you've met Billy Corgan.
I did.
Too, right?
He's a huge wrestling fan, and he actually bought the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance.
That's what I heard.
He's in the wrestling business, and I know people who've worked with him and stuff. But he would always go, like back in the day, like around 2000 or so, to Allstate for WWF shows or WWE shows. And I had buddies who had worked there, so we would both get like the comp tickets. You sit in the same section, and we would see him all the time. We would always be like, he would always have front row, and we would either be front row or second to the front. And there's this wrestler Kane who would come out, and when he would come out, there would be like huge pyro back in the day, and it would be so loud. And I remember we have a buddy, Joe, who's a huge Smashing Pumpkins fan. And I go, hey, Joe, tell Billy Corgan to cover his ears when Kane comes out. And he's like, hey, Billy, cover your ears. And then boom. And he was like, hey, thanks, guys. And then we just had some like wrestling trivia that I was like, hey, you know who sings that song? And I like told him, and he laughed. He thought that was funny because there's like,
you made Billy Corgan
laugh. We made him laugh. Yeah.
By the way, if you guys want to hear Marty DeRosa make you laugh, you've got some shows coming up, Marty. You got Next week, you got Zanies, right?
Yeah, I'm at Zanies in Rosemont, Wednesday the 12th and Thursday the 13th, 8 p.m. And on New Year's Eve, I'll be doing a show with Pat Tomasulo at the Beverly Arts Center, 8 p.m., because Pat likes to go to bed early, beverlyartscenter.org. And then later that night, I'll be at the Laugh Factory to ring in the new year.
Oh, yeah, I'll be on that show with you too, 10:30.
I'm there too, guys. Yeah. I'm opening up for both of
you. Billy's coming. It's going to be a real... Wow. I feel like Billy Corgan's like, I remember back in the day, like everybody had like Jerry Springer stories. Like, I think Corgan's just like, yeah, he's around.
Every time I told that joke, people would come up to me afterwards, and be like, you know, I met him too, but like, and I was like, you know, the story's not about him.
Yeah,
and when I'm on the road too, I'll say it's Charles Barkley. So that's
you gotta get your story straight.
But here's the thing: the true of the story, like you know, in comedy, truth in comedy works. I did meet Charles Barkley. I did meet Billy Corgan. I just interchanged the story of the interaction with Ryan Dempster. So it's not lying, right, Marty?
I mean,
you're the comedy.
You're
police.
Massaging the truth.
Yeah,
you're massaging the truth. I remember people used to when I lived in Northwest Indiana. One of the members of Veruca Salt lived in Whiting, Indiana, and people were like, yeah, I swear I party there. And I'm just like, no way. And I was like, bring me there. And they're like, oh, I can't. Something came up. I don't know which one it was.
It's the way it always is, right?
Yeah. I want to go hang out with Veruca Salt.
So if you've got, we're getting calls and texts for people. We got from the 608, he met Robin Williams, played in Washington, D.C., wonderful man. Yeah, Robin Williams would be a great one.
Yeah.
Did you meet him when he was here?
He showed up at Entertaining Julia, show in Boys Town. And might have borrowed a joke from Hannibal Buress.
Oh no!
That he did on like Letterman, I think, and it was like
still doing it at the end. Oh, that's geez. Too bad. I've got a great one. If you guys got calls, call us. We'll give you prizes for the best ones. 312-981-7200. We've got tickets to give away to Drink Day Laugh at the Laugh Factory. And what else we got? We got a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Isn't that right? So. I've got my story, but we're going to save that because we got a caller who's got a good celebrity encounter.
That's Kate? Right. What's going on, Katie? You got a good story for us, huh?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
Yeah, this was probably back in the 90s. And my girlfriend and I went downtown for actually a day out and tea at the Ritz-Carlton. So she and I get seated there, and I look up, and there's Joan Rivers sitting with her daughter. And her daughter's boyfriend at the time. And she's completely in my line of sight. So I cannot, you know, like, look up. Because back in the day, I think we all left celebrities alone. Now I think we all get rushed for selfies,
yep,
right?
Yep. The selfie has totally crossed the line of celebrity now. Because everyone just gets right in your face. I remember there was a time when Ken Jennings, the Jeopardy guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, all right, everybody, hold off with your selfies, please. All these cameras are making me nervous.
He's great on Twitter. He's super funny.
He's amazing. He's amazing. But you're right, Katie.
I don't know who he is.
Did Joan catch you looking at her?
No. So what happened is we ordered our tea. They were ahead of us in the service. So the whole time I'm looking down, right? Little do I know, she comes up to me and says to me, I love your dress.
Oh, wow.
And this is way before her E, when she had that, you know, fashion show on E.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it because here I am looking down the whole time and I don't really see her walking up to me. And luckily I had seen her on Johnny Carson like the night before. Remember when she was the guest host? She
was one of the first females.
And so she had done some bit with the weatherman, whose name I can't remember, from NBC, Channel 5. And she put on a bald cap, and so she was trying to mimic, and she pulled off a wig that was the bit that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, yeah, I still have, like, adhesive tape on my face from that bald cap I had to put on. It was pretty cool.
That's a great story.
Me. Yeah.
Joan, I mean, I almost called you Joan. Katie, that is an amazing story. I think that's the new one to top, in fact.
Katie, stay on the line. We're going to get your information, give you tickets to the Laugh Factory. But right now, we're going to take a break. Stay tuned. You are listening to Nightside with Michael Heidemann and Paul Farvar. We are talking about celebrity encounters. 312-981-7200. Give us a call or a text if you've got some. We've got some texts of people that think they can top Joan Rivers, which I think is the reigning champion right now.
I think that's in the lead so far. Are we at a great caller, Katie, who Joan Rivers loved her dress? And let's see if we can top it with these texts.
We got, first of all, Marty DeRosa had a good story, which I think was in the top 2.5. Marty, is that you okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
You're okay?
Sure.
It's hard when you're already a celebrity and you meet another
Get
celebrity.
Get out of here. You're,
Marty DeRosa,
come on, man. Come on.
In the house.
Come on.
Yeah, what are the texts, Michael? What do we got?
Okay, so from the 847, to top it, back in the mid-80s, I rode an elevator with Prince on Michigan Avenue.
Huge.
The Prince. He was flanked
tiny,
by... He was,
yeah.
He was flanked by the two biggest dudes you've ever seen. Matching suits with sunglasses, not a word was spoken. But when I came out, when I went out, Prince gave an inquisitive look and he smiled. And he said, "Yep, it's me."
Okay. That's awesome.
Okay. That's such a Prince thing to say.
That's how
too.
You want Prince to be.
How do you say your name when you're a symbol anyway? So I don't know. It's kind of
depends on when they saw him.
Okay, so
I still think that the Prince Dave Chappelle skit with Charlie Murphy is one of the funniest
classic
things on TV. And then we got 815 just said Marilyn Manson.
That's all they needed. No story, just Marilyn Manson.
That'd be funny. It's like Marilyn Manson, but he was like real dressed down at like a Starbucks with his like hair in a ponytail and just like a hat on, Cubs hat on, and just like, oh yeah, that's just what I do at night. It's like not what I do. It's not what I'm about.
And he had a country accent the whole time.
Yeah.
I knew it was him.
Yeah. Call me Steve.
Well, Prince, the story that gave us Prince is a great story. 847, if you want to call us, we will give you tickets to the Laugh Factory Drink Day Laugh. Fridays at 8 o'clock, we'll give you two free tickets to that. By the way, talking about conversations about comedy, Marty DeRosa, you've got some shows next week. Is that right?
That's right. I'll be at the Zanies in Rosemont Wednesday, December 12th, and Thursday, December 13th. Both shows at 8 p.m. Head to zanies.com for the details.
Where can people find out more about you and your celebrityness?
I'm at Marty DeRosa on all the social media platforms. I guess you can do that.
Okay, well, we've got our celebrities. In addition to meeting Marty DeRosa tonight, we've got my stories that I've got a couple, and Michael Heidemann has some, but we're going to go with the ones that we have on the phone, see if they can beat us.
Well, I want to hear yours, Paul. I think that the audience has been teased for too long. We got to hear what's going
yeah,
on.
I think you've built this up too much.
It's happening. Right. What is the celebrity story?
I don't know if I want to go before or after. Well, now that I see what I think these callers might be, we'll tell them to hold on, and I'll tell them my story. I met Ben Folds.
No
And it's
way.
A great story. Here's what it is. 1997, Melrose Avenue, Los Angeles, California. I'm wearing a Ben Folds shirt. And we're shopping on the street.
I like where this is going.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Shopping on the street. And, you know, at the time, I was with my girlfriend, and he was with his girlfriend. And, you know, when you're, like, following your girlfriend to the stores, and you're kind of bored, and it's all... Melrose Street at the time was all, you know, women's clothing, and you're just, you know, you're
this was when Melrose Place was the hot TV show.
Melrose Avenue. Right. Yeah. But, yeah, that's true. You can go with that, Marty.
Sure.
And then the girls were changing to try on clothes, and I look over, and this gentleman is staring at me with his glasses on, and I have a shirt. I go, "Are you?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then him and I ended up hanging out, and just I'm like, "You know, I'm a huge fan. I'm in a band. We cover your song Brick." And when the girls come out, the girlfriends come out, they ended up being like best friends in there before that. And then so we ended up shopping for the next half hour with Ben Folds, and I'm talking about music. At the time I was a musician, I was like, this is the coolest thing in the world. And he signed my shirt, "Happy shopping, nice shoes," because I just bought these bright white Stan Smith Adidas shirts, and he's like, "Those are too bright, you can't wear those." He made fun of my shoes all the time.
Wow.
Then 10 years later, we're doing a world's largest block party in Chicago. The band I was managing at the time, Dan Dare, was opening for him. I'm like, "Hey, Ben, do you remember me?" He's like, "Nope."
No. Oh, why would I? That'd be great. That's what I want my celebrities to be like. "No, I don't remember you."
Yeah. Well, that was my biggest one, but he signed my shirt. I still have the shirt. It was a Ben Folds 5 shirt, and I got to hang out with him and shoppy with him. And I have proof because he said, "Happy shopping, Paul." So it's proof.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Marty doesn't seem impressed. I should have said Robin Thicke.
I'm not a huge... I mean, Ben... Yeah, okay. It's good. It's good.
I did meet Robin Thicke, too, but I didn't really have a good...
Yeah, Ellie's weird because it doesn't count because you just see people... Like, I was just telling you guys off the air, like, I saw David Arquette at the grocery store, and I was like, "Oh, cool." But I didn't... You know, I was just like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, if you don't encounter... If you don't have an interaction with them.
Yeah.
We have a lot of good texts coming through from the... Here on our text line, 312-981-7200 for WGN. Speaking of shoes, Richard Simmons signed my gym shoe in 1986. Now, what would you rather have? A Ben Folds signed shoe or a Richard Simmons?
I gotta go Richard Simmons, I think.
Well, he's missing. He's been missing for years.
He's not missing. They found him, right? That's just weird, though. Like, I think, you know, as a conversation starter, especially back then, you'd be like, yeah, if Richard Simmons autograph on a shoe, people would be like, what?
That's crazy. You know, it's almost like when I went to go and see Garrison Keillor, who is a famous broadcaster from Minnesota Public Radio. Somebody brought a samurai sword for him to sign at his show.
That's up right out of Step Brothers. That's a Step Brothers thing.
It was. But the thing is, I was looking at him because he was in front of me walking in the line to the bathroom, and he had a giant sword on his back. And I'm like, that's the only thing that he could be doing with a giant sword like that.
You think Prince's bodyguards would have let that fly? No way. They would have thrown that guy on the floor in 2 seconds.
No way. From the 815, I'm at Jeremy Piven at the Soho House. And that must have been a crazy story.
Were you on the shows with Jeremy? We
did I think I did the one afterwards, so I saw everybody freaking out.
Yeah, I did shows with him here in Chicago and in LA. He's hilarious. He's a fun guy, nice guy. He's super cool.
As a guy who's losing his hair a little bit, I was just like trying to see what was going on there. I was like studying his hair. I'm like, what do we got going on here?
We did a promo shoot because the shows were called at the Laugh Factory. We were called Jeremy Piven and Friends, and so I was like, why don't we do a promo for it? And then because it's Friends, and I just go, hey, you know Jeremy? And I like brag that I'm his friend, and then he comes in. He's like, yeah, I don't know who you are. And I got to act with him, and that's how I got my SAG card. So it's all good. Let's see here. What else we got here?
From the 870, we got some more texts rolling through and calls that we're going to be taking.
Yeah, we got some calls. Go ahead.
We see you, Joe and Jeff. From the 870, I'm at Stormin' Norman Schwarzkopf right after Desert Storm. He is a big dude.
That was like the top of his popularity right there.
Yeah.
Okay, I think, you know what,
is he still alive?
Norman Schwarzkopf? He might be.
I think he is.
All I remember is Chris Farley playing him on SNL, and that's the only thing.
Yeah.
That's the only connection I have to Storm and Norman.
But I felt like at that time, everyone had cool names like Wolf Blitzer and Storm and Norman Schwarzkopf. I was like, wow, everyone's got cool names.
What happened to that? Like Charlie Rose, I remember.
Well, he had to go away for a little while.
Yeah, he's gone now. He's gone, but still, nice name.
312-981-7200. If you've got celebrity callers you think, or you got celebrity encounters you think beat ours, give us a call. We've got a lot of people are calling. We got to take these calls. What do we got? Joe from the 847. You got a celebrity crush there? Not a crush.
Celebrity crush. Joe, who's your celebrity crush?
Celebrity encounter that beats ours?
Yeah, well, I'm a private detective, and over the years, many celebrities. But the one that stands out in my mind, I was at the Hyatt House in Chicago.
Okay.
I had a big drink, and I got up to walk out, and Frank Sinatra Jr. stands up and looks you right in the eye and says, aren't you Tina's brother?
Yeah.
That's the move.
That's the move.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You throw them off a little bit, and they're like, whoa, what the heck?
That's a great one.
Am I Tina's brother?
Yeah.
Thanks, nice Joe. That's a good one, Joe. Thanks for calling. We're not going to award you the gift card.
Yeah, that junior cost you the gift card.
Thanks for calling, though. No, we do appreciate it. Thanks, Joe. We got Jeff. Jeff from the 312. You've got two people that you think can beat our celebrity encounters. Hello? Jeff, you there?
What's shaking, Jeff?
Yes, sir. I can beat that easily. Robert Plant and Jimmy Page at the Checkerboard Lounge on East 43rd Street. Back in the early 80s.
Who are those people?
Wow, come on.
You know, if he gives us directions, that definitely happens.
That's
huge. Do you have proof that you met him, Jeff?
Yeah, actually, I do. Plan only signed one autograph that night, mine.
So I think Jeff is using the same phone he had in the 80s. Right now, he hasn't upgraded.
Wait, what did he was using the same what, Jeff?
Yeah, I'll take you off sugar. I'm sorry.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. So what did you say? What was your proof?
Yeah, Robert Plant only signed one autograph, and that was mine. I went to the show, I went to Jimmy Page's show with Firm with Paul Rogers.
Yeah.
And I gave him the wrong ticket stub, and Plant caught it. He goes, this is it, my ticket.
And that's hilarious. Mine
with Honey Drippers, and he signed that ticket stub for the Honey Drippers. Right, this is after John Bonham died. So it must have been 81, 82, maybe.
Right. Honey Drippers was with Paul Schaefer was in that band, too.
No, Paul Rogers.
Paul Schaefer was also in the Honey Drippers.
Oh, was he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, learn something new every day, Jeff. That's actually good. That's a good celebrity.
That's huge.
Encounter.
Yeah. That's the lead, right?
Jeff,
yeah,
you're in the lead right now. You're in the lead. Hang on. We're going to get your information. We'll give you tickets to the Laugh Factory Fridays for Drink Day Laugh. Hold on the phone, Jeff, and Tom will take your number. Randy.
I'm loving this because the calls are really rolling in right now. People want to win.
Who
has the best celebrity encounter story? Let's go to Randy real quick.
Randy, you there?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's shaking, Randy? What's your celebrity story?
Well, I used to work at a resort in Phoenix, Arizona, and the dead came and stayed with us for a couple days, and I was in room service. I got a call and order for the dead. I said, I'm taking that order. And
why would they be hungry? I don't understand. Why would they have the munchies? Exactly. I don't understand.
Yeah.
What else did you do when you went in the room?
I get out to their room, and I knock on the door, and I say, room service. And I hear like a bunch of Indians, crazy kids jumping and yelling around, and the door opens, and it's Jerry Garcia standing there. He says, come in, bring in the order. And I said, Jerry, what's going on? You got all these little kids jumping around. He goes, oh, everybody left me and dropped the kids off with me.
Uncle Jerry will watch the kids.
Old Jerry, always trustworthy.
He literally had on a button-down sweater, and he was so nice. It was like 2 years before he died, but it was really incredible.
93. That's awesome. Did you get to smoke anything with him?
No, but you know what? When they left the hotel and room service went to clean out the room and everything like that, I got a few out of the ashtray.
All right, Randy, you got a great story here. Stay on the phone. We will give you tickets to the Laugh Factory Drink Day Laugh at 8 o'clock, or Everyone's a Lawyer, the last Sunday of every month. So stay on the phone. We'll get your information. But we've got to take a break.
We do got to take. I think Randy kind of climbed his way to the top with that last little bit of the story. Hard. Yeah. We got a lot of calls coming through. The phone lines are jam packed. So if you're not getting through, text us, and we're going to be reading text. But keep calling, because the phone lines are jammed at the moment. Let's take that quick break, and we will be back to you in just a minute here on WGN Radio. Those phone lines are jam-packed. We're talking favorite celebrity encounters.
We still got to get to a bunch of people here.
Got a lot of texts coming through. Paul, do you want to hit up some of those texts real quick and see who can beat Stormin' Norman Schwarzkopf? I think on the text. Okay, now we're getting like some serious texts.
People get competitive when there's free tickets on the line. By the way, we still have a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's if you have a better story for your celebrity encounter. We do have, let's see here, from the 217, 1982 Chicago Air and Water Show, on the verge of stardom, Mr. T squeezed his way past me and my friend, leaning against the Lakeshore Drive concrete.
Man. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
If you squeeze next to Mr. T,
I pity the fool who does that.
Do you turn into an S?
I remember when we were in high school, our football team was going like near the state finals or whatever. So we had to go to like Indianapolis for a game or something, or the school that we just went as fans to watch. And the halftime show was the Backstreet Boys. And they were like, this was when they were just like got together, and like that guy was probably like taking them on a little tour, like getting them polished up and stuff. And I remember we were all like, ugh, who are these idiots? And like every girl in our school was like, I'm in love with all of them. And I'm like, nothing will ever happen with them. And then next thing you know, you're like, oh, those are those guys from the halftime show that they're like the biggest stars in the world at that time.
That's insane. Okay, so I have a similar story, and we'll get to these calls in a second. When I was going to school out in Utah, a very small school in southern Utah, I mean, the city was about 10,000 people. This little band came by for our Howl, which was our Halloween show at night. And they're like, Mike, can you show this band around? And I'm like, oh, gosh, I guess so. And they're like, hey, what's up? We're Imagine Dragons. We just came to play the show. So they played the show in our gymnasium. Literally 15 people showed up to the show. Two weeks later, Time came out, their big hit, and blew them off the map, and they've never seen Cedar City ever again. So it just shows you got to keep your eyes and ears open during these times.
We have a lot of calls we have to get to. We'll talk about more of these texts a little bit, but I know that John has been waiting a long time, and he's got a celebrity crush. So far, it looks like we're
celebrity. Keep saying celebrity crush, Paul.
I think Paul, something's going
Paul,
on.
Paul, who's
here?
Your celebrity crush? Yeah. Get out of the way, and let's move
Heather
on.
Graham. Heather Graham.
All right, there you go.
All right, but by the way, people are texting that Jerry Garcia is in the lead. From the 768 or 786, they're saying he totally wins.
Over Led Zeppelin?
That's so far. Wild. I don't know. All but right. Let's see what we got. John?
Over Stormin' Norman? Okay.
John, you on the phone with us?
How are you? Okay. I was in Iowa City, and I was walking down a pet mall, and I ran into Haley Mills and her father.
Who?
And I said, I kind of walked up to her, and I said, are you Haley Mills? And she said, yeah. And I said, what are you doing here in Iowa City? And she said, I'm just passing through. I don't know. She likes Iowa for some reason.
Huh. All right, we don't know who that is. Let's guess. Okay. Who Haley... I'm going to say, like, actress?
Okay. Actresses... I'm going to say... Foot Locker model.
I'm gonna go with a musician from the 30s.
All right, John. So which one is it? Who is Heather Mill?
Haley Mills.
Haley Mills.
Haley Mills. Oh, she was an English actress. She was in a bunch of Disney.
Yeah.
Okay. Good job, Marty.
Like the Moonspinners, and then her contract ran out with Disney, and she was in a movie called The Trouble with Angels.
You know, all right, we're not going to get you. You don't beat Jerry Garcia, John.
I think that's Haley Mills' publicist who just called up right there. That was he doing an awful lot.
John, thank you so much for the call. Thanks for listening to WGN. Just hang on real tight. You can talk to our buddy Tom, who's going to take your call in a second. Let's go to our next call real quick. Who should we take, Paul?
I think, let's see, Levon has been waiting, I think. Levon, are you there?
Yes.
Levon, who
is
you? Hi, how are you?
Good. How about yourself?
We're swell. So who's your celebrity encounter?
Well, my name's Levon. Levon.
Way to go, Paul.
Come on, Paul.
My bad. It's spelled like Levon, just for the record, which is an Elton John
song. Yeah, just like Elton John.
So
right?
I'm not the first person who's done this, right, Levon?
Correct.
All right. I accept your apology.
I met Michael Jordan and Dickie V.
Whoa.
There you go.
Do you want to hear?
Who is
Jordan. Go
good.
Jordan.
Wait a minute. Let's put it on hold real. You said Nicky V?
Dickie V.
Dickie Valvano.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
ESPN, that's right. Baby.
He was in the condo. We were in Florida in Siesta Key, and he was in the condo below us.
Yeah.
And I kept on hearing people going, Dickie V, but it was really cool. He was there for the whole week. But my Michael Jordan story.
My family lives in Siesta Key. That's funny because I remember when he used to be there. He
scored all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
We were by Jamaica Royale, was the name of the condos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Paul stayed there one day.
Yeah, Paul's band played there.
We played there. No.
All right, let's hear that Michael Jordan story.
Yeah. Because they don't have a place to play. But it was like walking distance to downtown. You know how small the town is there in Siesta Key?
Yeah, the village it's called.
All right, this isn't a commercial for Siesta Key. Unless they're paying for our thing here.
She's going to start singing, at the Siesta Keys.
All right, tell us the Michael
Jordan story. Give us the Jordan story.
Okay. Jordan story. Had playoff tickets. I think it was 89 or 90 when they were playing, and they were in Detroit playing against the Pistons at the Palace, but now the Palace is no longer there. And this is before they were taking private planes and before cell phones were just coming out, but we watched the game at the Palace, and then Michael Jordan, as we were boarding our plane, was on a payphone talking to somebody. And
that's his wife at the time.
Hopefully, right? And anyways, when he got off the phone, I had him sign my two Palace tickets because we had stayed in suite tickets. And he signed them, and he was pretty cordial and went on the plane. So it was an opportunity because usually they take their own planes or something now. But it was pretty cool.
All right.
Man.
We'll give you credit because it's the biggest star that we've had so far. It would have been better if he put his phone number or his hotel number on that when he gave you the thing, but we'll still give you...
his phone number. Yeah. Here you go. Come up later. I'm hanging out with Jerry Garcia later.
And Haley Mill. And maybe they're all hanging out. But stay on the phone. Levon, we're going to give you tickets to the Laugh Factory, Drink Day Laugh, 8 o'clock on Fridays at the Laugh Factory. We still got, I don't know which one we go with.
We've got
here.
So many calls, but we need to run to the news, which I'm so bummed about. But keep those calls coming. Again, if you can't get through, just keep dialing. They're jam-packed. We can't even see it. It's just a sea of blue right now. And our text message as well, 312-981-7200. Guys, I got to tell you real quick.
People are sending pictures to prove that they've met these people.
Yeah, and everybody agrees Haley Mills is in the lead.
She's my got first a stern crush. Lead. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, growing up. Oh, my gosh. The Parent Trap.
I'm Googling her.
Yeah. We need to take some time to Google at the moment. But, guys, I'm going to tease this out real quick. I haven't told you my story yet.
Yeah.
And it might
true.
Blow your mind.
You might win the whole thing. You might win tickets to the Laugh Factory.
All I want to see is Marty at the Laugh Factory. That's it. And I want to see you too, Paul, for everyone's a lawyer and drink day laugh and everything else.
Haley Mills was the original teacher on the Saved by the Bell, Miss Bliss.
Get out of town. Okay. That might be okay.
Maybe he's back in the running.
I'm changing.
She's back in the running. She's winning.
Let's take a quick break here on WGN Radio's Nightside. Welcome back to WGN Radio's Nightside with hosts Michael Heidemann and Paul Farvar. We've been talking about favorite celebrity encounters, and I think that we might have broken the text and phone lines because we had so many calls and so many great stories too, right, Paul?
Yeah, there's a lot that we didn't get to. We'll try to mention a few of them. But we got to go to the news, don't we?
We do. We do. We can run through some of these texts before we. Before we close out this segment, though, I think that they deserve it. Who can beat Stormin' Norman Schwarzkopf and Heather Mills?
Haley Mills.
A lot of people are putting Haley Mills, they're saying Haley Mills was hot. Google her. And we did, and we agree.
We found out she's Miss Bliss from Saved by the Bell.
People, 224 met Johnny Cash in June. That's a pretty good one. The person who met Stormin' Norman said he also met the crew from Enola Gay.
Okay.
The plane that dropped the first atomic bomb.
A big fan of the military. Okay.
Yeah. Marilyn Manson follow-up. He's got some other people he met. We're not going to get to that. It's too long of a text. And we got Bono kissed the 815 at the Chicago House of Rock. That's pretty good.
Wow. All right. From the call line, we got Peg, who met Larry Bird. We see you, Peg. Congratulations on that. I love Larry Bird.
Yeah, if you want to stick on, we'll give you tickets to the Laugh Factory as well. That's a good one because he was one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But
you know what? We're going to take this one last call. Cheryl, you got a minute here, so give us Princess Diana. What's shaking with her?
I was in London with some friends in 1990, 1991. We were all teaching in Germany, so we went to London for Thanksgiving break. And we happened to see her motorcade go by. And later on, we saw that same car in another part of town, and police were putting up barricades. So we asked what was going on. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, you know, Lady Diana is going to be exiting the building soon. Mm-hmm. So we asked if we could hang around. They said, sure. And she came out, and one of my friends called to her and said, you know, Lady Di, you know, please come shake our hands. We're Americans, but something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And only because you're Americans.
Pardon me?
Because you guys are Americans?
I think so.
We're so entitled, us Americans. Come shake my hand. I'm an American.
No.
Cheryl, that's great.
We're teachers from America.
Ah, so, awesome.
Okay.
There was a friend
entitled
standing
teachers.
Behind
Got
us.
It.
Yeah, and as she walked over, she extended her hand to me, and I've got a picture of it. Ooh. And I said something really profound, like, you're a real princess.
Oh.
She was beautiful. She had a wonderful handshake. It wasn't, you know, some little frail little thing.
Yes,
and,
good handshake.
And she had said, well, you must be tired if you're from America. That's when we explained to her, oh, no, we live in Germany. But she was lovely.
Well, that I think, guys,
Cheryl, you won.
Can't top it.
You can't
top it.
She's the highest. Probably beats Jerry Garcia. Cheryl, we have a $25 gift card for you from Lou Malnati's. If you stay on the line, Tom will get your information. So please don't hang up. Hold on. You have won Celebrity Encounters.
Congratulations, Cheryl. All right, we got to kick it to the news. We were a little bit late.